Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at the fourth verse. I'm going to read to you from the New King James Version this morning.
All right.
Yes. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your divinators who are in the midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed. Y'all with me still?
Yes, sir.
For they prophesy falsely to you in my name.
Jesus.
I have not sent them, not says the Lord.
Yeah.
For thus said the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you.
Yes.
And cause you to return to this place. Mm-hmm. For I know that the thoughts that I think towards you,
yes,
says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Yes, yes.
Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all nations, from all places. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. I want to tag on this text, so we can use this in these times that we live in. I want to tell you, New Jerusalem, how to persevere through the pandemic.
Come on now.
I want to tell you how to persevere through the pandemic. All right. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. How to persevere through the pandemic.
Yes.
As Bible students, I pray that you are fully aware. One of the great dangers of those who would teach, preach, and try to interpret scripture is you got to be careful of those who would try to interpret any passage of God's word without giving due attention to the historical context in which the word is written.
All right.
That, in essence, is a crime of the academy and a violation of all that is taught us in seminary. Mm-hmm. To try to anesthetize a scripture and remove it from the historical context that caused its creation to begin with. In a way, it is kind of like trying to understand Martin Luther King Jr., I Have a Dream speech, and you know nothing about civil rights.
Come on now, that's right.
That is rooted in historicity that gives accurate interpretation to what God is trying to speak.
Alright.
Professor Wesley Wildman, Reverend Lyles, of Boston University, some of his work that I have read, argue that in scripture, although there are many things that happen and happen history-wise,
mm-hmm,
there are three critical events that anchor all scripture.
Yes.
Dr. Wildman suggests that 80% of scripture deals with and talks about or tries to understand in some way three critical moments, events, that happen that really ground and anchor all scripture. And if you are not familiar with these three events, Mother Tarman, you will always misinterpret what God is saying and what God is doing. So whether it be the Psalms or the prophets, whether it be the law or the gospels, whether it be the history The reality is that all of Scripture rotates and revolves around three critical moments and movements in history. Can't pastor teach that God did it to me? The first one should not surprise you. I told you this before. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot correctly begin to understand God's word without an understanding of what God is doing on the cross of Calvary. That all of the prophets were making their way towards Calvary. The Gospels help us understand the life of the one who would die. And the remaining part of the New Testament gives us an explanation of what it means to walk in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Number two, the second event that anchors Scripture other than the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ is an event known as the Exodus. That great movement and freedom of God that comes to us in the second book of the Bible, where we encounter a God that hears the cry of his children, a God who moves upon political systems, the ideology to bring deliverance and freedom to those who are enslaved.
All
right. A God who shows up at the Red Sea to make a way out of no way, proving that he can do anything but fail. A God who forms a covenant with a body of people to let them know they are his chosen. Then begins to move them to a place of promise.
Yes.
To show even when we are not faithful.
Right.
Even when we're not faithful.
Yes.
He is faithful.
Yes.
To do what God said he would perform.
Yes.
So you have the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Exodus. And the third event that really anchors and grounds all of Scripture, follow me now, is something that happens in 597 BC, before Christ, called the Babylonian Exile.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Stare at me through this history lesson, y'all.
Yeah.
It is in 597 BC, under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, come in and conquer the southern kingdom of Israel, known as Judah, and destroy the capital city known as Jerusalem. In this time, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians destroyed the sovereignty of Israel in 597 BC. And Israel would not reign sovereign over the land until 1948, some 60 more than 65 years ago. From 597 to 1948, church, they have been a displaced people who did not have sovereign control over the land the Lord had given them. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians come in and destroy Jerusalem. And the reason it is called the exile, not only did they destroy Jerusalem, but they lay hold onto 4,600 Jews and export or exile them to live in Babylon under the hand of the enemy that destroyed their homeland and left the remaining remnant in the city. While 4,600 Jews were exiled to Babylon to live as Babylon citizens. Let me tell you what they did. They didn't just take anybody, y'all. They took the cream of the crop.
Yes.
They took the talented kids. They took the intellectual folk.
Yeah.
And the artistic. And the philosophical. And the laborer.
Yes.
And the entrepreneur. They grabbed the best of the best from Jerusalem and left the remaining remnant in the city while 4,600 Jews are exiled to Babylon to live as Babylonian citizens. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
In essence, they took from Jerusalem all the human resources necessary to rebuild the city. Although it's rough for the remnant of Jews who remained in Jerusalem, the reality is it was even tougher for the exiles who now live in Babylon.
All right.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For this was an era in where there was no CNN on the ground. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook so you can post an update. There was no Instagram. There was no Snapchat. No, you can't. What? So they had to wait for a word of mouth to find out what was happening and what had happened in Jerusalem. And slowly word began to trickle from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon. that the city had been destroyed. The temple had been burned.
Yes.
And it left them with questions that were unanswered. What was the fate of loved ones still in Jerusalem? What happened to the personal property and possessions and so on that we had? Here are people exiled in Babylon who are worried and wondering about the fate of their homeland, who are saddened and sorrowful about the destruction of their city.
Okay.
And to make matters worse, they now are living in hostile territory.
Mm-hmm.
Look like social separation to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I gotta stay home and Kim. What? They're living with Babylonians, having to learn people they don't like, adjust to food they're not accustomed to wander through a city they know not of, to work jobs they have no experience in, to learn a language they do not speak, to be in a religious system that does not worship the God of their fathers. A people saddened and sorrowful about the destruction of their city, wondering and worrying about the fate of their loved ones, adjusting and adapting to living in hostile territory. The only glimmer of hope they had, Deacon Drake.
Yes, sir.
The only thing that kept them going, the only thing that made them feel like they can endure, that there were three prophets, Deacon Lennon, named Ahab, Zedekiah, and Hananiah.
Right.
These three prophets gave the exiles some hope by telling them, listen to this now, that the Lord said that exile will only last 2 years. They filled these exiles with hope that in 24 months, the Lord will deliver you out of Babylon. If you hold on to God for just 2 years, you'll be back in Jerusalem. God will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar from around your neck. God will destroy the Babylonians. It's only going to take 2 years. So these exiles have some glimmer of hope. That if we can just hold on for 2 years, everything will be just all right.
That's all right.
That's until they get a letter from Jeremiah. That is recorded to us in chapter 29. For it is here that Jeremiah at the time writes to the 3,023 Jews that have been exiled. The letter simply goes like this: y'all, don't listen to Ahab. Don't listen to Ahab and them. Zedekiah and Hananiah, they're not speaking on behalf of the Lord. The Lord told me to write to you, to tell you, you are an exile, but it won't be for 2 years. It's going to be for 70 years.
Yes,
sir. You just hear that?
Yes, sir.
It's not going to be 2 years, but 70 years. Before the Lord brings you out, I need you to stand in their shoes right now. They are sad and sorrowful about the destruction of Jerusalem. They are wondering and worried about the fate of loved ones. They are adjusting and adapting to living in hostile enemy territory. And the only hope they had was it would not last long.
All right.
And now the word of the Lord that comes to them. The season you are in, struggle you're going through, the place we are in life will not pass quickly and easily. That this is not going to be a walk in the park. This is not going to change with one prayer and one praise service. This is going to last 70 years. What do you do when you find out yourself in an exilic, when you find yourself in an exilic existence? You are in a place in life you never thought you would land in. That you find yourself believing that this season you are in will not go away quickly. That this burden will not be lifted automatically. What do you do when you begin to realize, baby, it may get worse before it gets better?
Yes.
Yeah. Sound like I'm writing our story, huh?
Yes.
Now I'm in the book.
In the book, yes, sir.
How to persevere through the pandemic.
Yeah.
Israel did it. It's about to get dark. And no matter how much you pray and beg, this season you are about to go through will be the worst one of your life. The heaviest one you have to deal with. The most complicated you have ever faced. What do you do since that God has declared you have to take this journey? Can't pray your way out of it. You have to go through this walk, and it won't be quick. Hmm. Believe it or not, life has a way of putting you in exile. Hmm.
Yes, yes.
Hello.
Yes, amen.
You wind up in places you did not think a saint like you should end up. Living on the hand of folk you did not like. Dealing with situations you did not ask God to bring into your world.
Yes.
You ever been in a dark place in life?
Yes.
I had a sense that it was going to be a dark for a while. And that God was carrying you through?
Amen.
Have you ever been
Amen.
In a dark place, Deacon Trey?
Yes.
Amen.
You didn't know where the end was going to be, but you know, somehow.
Somehow.
Yes. God was in the mix taking you through.
Yes. Yes.
What do you do when you are waiting on God to bring you out of the worst situation in your life? Exile, a pandemic. What do you do? What do you do when you're waiting on God to remove the yoke off your neck? Pandemic. What do you do when you're begging God just to get you out of this mess that you are in right now?
Yes.
Can't go to the store and give me no toilet paper.
All right.
What do you do when you can't get napkins? Toilet paper. I had a flashback, Deacon Drake. When I went to Walmart and couldn't find no toilet paper, I had a flashback in the military and had to use. I thought I was having to go back and use the leaves. What's up with that? I say, God, this ain't funny. How do you persevere through the pandemic? What do we do when the Lord is taking his sweet time to change the circumstances of our life? What do you do when God is not answering your prayer after you say amen? What do you do when you are in exile in a pandemic situation? Somebody says, that's a good question.
Yes.
Good question.
Well, I didn't come here without any answers.
All right.
But thank God, even the pastor know how to read.
Yes, sir.
The Lord gives us some advice.
Yes,
on what to do when we wind up in an exilic place.
All right.
In a pandemic situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dark seasons and struggles that are heavy and burdens that don't go away easy. The Lord said, there are a few things that I need you to do when you find yourself in a place you don't know what to do. I want you to feel it. I want you to live life.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. I'm trying not to run. Here we go, Mother Tongue. First one. He tells us, be productive in the midst of your predicament.
Yes.
I want you to learn how to be productive. No matter what you are going through, watch what the Lord tells them. The Lord says it is going to be 70 years. It's going to be a long journey and long haul. It's not going to go away easily. This is what I want you to do. Build some houses. And move in. Buy some furniture and settle down. Plant a garden and eat from the garden. Marry, have kids, make your kids have some kids so that you will have some grandkids. Keep on living life even though you are in an adverse situation. Can I preach this thing? God says keep on doing what you've been doing. Don't get over in Babylon in the pandemic and decide you're just going to lay down and die.
Yes.
Because you're not in the environment you want to live. chicken wing or whatever y'all gonna eat.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry, Church's chicken, Popeye. No, you can't be going there all the time.
Oh, my God.
Cook your own food.
Amen.
Stay home. Stay home and meditate on the word. Keep on doing what you've been doing. Sister Frella. Watch this. Watch Pastor, Sister Frella. Go get your hair done. Get your teeth fixed. Get you a mani-pedi. Clean up in the morning. Get dressed. Go to work. Put a smile on your face. Keep on doing what you've been doing. God says, I command you to increase while you're in the middle of a pandemic. I know it's a dark place. I know it's a hostile territory. I know you don't want to be there. But I demand you increase while you're here.
Yes.
Don't you diminish while you are in the middle of this mess.
All right.
Don't you get so depressed that you don't do what I called you to do. Amen. Don't you become so sad and sorrowful that you don't try anymore. When you are in a dark place, give it the best you can and keep on increasing.
Yes.
All right.
Can I tell you why it's real? Because when you get in an exilic, in an isolated situation, listen. When you get in an exilic existence in places we don't want to be, in a season we do not ask for, with the longevity we did not pray about, the tendency is just to throw up your hands.
Yeah.
Become so frustrated.
Yes.
By being in a hostile territory. Watch me now. Sister Morrison, check this out.
Yes, sir.
That's you no longer, Deacon Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
Put an investment in your increase.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, y'all listen.
Yes.
No, it ain't good right now.
Okay.
Amen.
But while everything was good, and you can come to church and you ain't got to worry about washing your dirty hands. Yeah, you had your praise going.
All right.
But now you got some restrictions on you.
Uh-huh.
You got some freedoms taken away from you.
Yeah.
And you forget that. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, but God has prepared for those that love it. East. Ain't nothing changed. He's still the same God yesterday, today, he's still the God in the middle of this day. You need to take a self-examination. You can't do it while you're here with us, because if you're here with us, you're going to be faking. No, you go home, take your mask off,
yes.
Get on the side of your bed, close the bedroom door, don't let nobody by you,
yes, sir.
And call on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
If you still feel the same way when you call on his name, then he's still God.
Yeah.
The last time I checked, I called him on the midnight hour one time. I don't care what number 45 do. I don't care what they do. I'm sick of worrying about them anyway. I was worrying about it and say, you know what? I'm so sick. I say, why did he? That's my Facebook. Why did he catch it? Everybody's catching. Why did he catch it?
All right.
What are you trying to take us out? They're trying to take us out. But guess what? I said, but what if I had to leave? If I got to leave, then God said, so he gave me some of my elder brothers. He sent my elder brother to talk to me, the Apostle Paul.
Hey.
Paul says it. Paul said, to be absent from the body,
I said,
and to be cross. And Paul didn't leave. I said, Paul, I heard you. I don't need you preaching to me right now. live is Christ. To die is gain. Paul said, I don't care what y'all do to me. Paul said, I just want to know about Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Into my increase. That means that God has wrote a vision for me. His vision don't get canceled because something happened in the world. He's still God. And guess what? Even if I don't see it, I'm going to get the Shadrach, Meshach, and the Abednego see it. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if he don't, I'm still going to serve God. Yeah, that's what these exiles are about in the middle of their pandemic. Because the same group of saints that Jeremiah writing to, watch this, deacons, are the same exiles who wrote Psalms 137. In case you have not read it, I'll give it to you. Psalms 137 is written by some exiles, and the Babylonians came to them and said, sing us one of them good praise and worship songs y'all used to say. The exiles said, how can we sing the praise of God in a foreign land? They were of the mindset, because they were no longer in Israel, that they could no longer praise God. I don't care how bad it gets for you.
That's it.
Things might not be going your way. It really don't matter. You better open your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. You better pray for God to give you a spirit of thankfulness in the midst of your circumstance and situation. God's word to them when they said that was, even though you are in a foreign land, I am not a foreign God. Wherever you are, that's just where I am. Don't y'all know that's the kind of God we serve? We don't serve a God that stays sitting on the throne, looking down from heaven, watching us sweating it out. The book, the writer of Hebrews said, we do not serve a high priest who's not cognizant of the things that we are going through. Our God is the type of God, he likes to get his hands dirty. He likes to get in the middle of our mess with us. You can praise him in hostile situations. You don't have to be in perfect condition for me to show that I'm still God. I will still bless you. I will still multiply you and increase your territory. Don't you know we serve a God who can multiply you while you are in the enemy's presence?
That's right.
Oh, I wish I had some Bible readers here. The Bible says that he prepared us a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He'll anoint my hair at all till my cup. What a word. The Bible records, hey, David was the writer of the 23rd Division of Psalms, saying he prepares a table. Do you know? This is not how you wanted it to be. I know it's not how we wanted it to be, y'all. But do you? Baby, I know you got folk rising up against you. But do you? I know there are folk that think you're not going to make it. But do you? I know they speak ill about you and say you church people think y'all going to make it better than everybody else. Well, that's their business. Do what God has called you to do. And God will cause you to increase and be all right. Be productive in spite of your predicament. Watch the text, y'all. Not only do I want you to build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat some fruit, and have kids and let your kids have kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But number two, oh boy, I'm going to get quiet.
Go ahead, say it, Pastor.
Can I say it?
Go ahead, Pastor, say it.
Pray for your persecutors.
Yes.
I got an issue with this. I don't know where you are. The Lord literally says in verse 7 of the text, I want you to have a prayer meeting for Babylon. I want you to call to the Lord for your enemy.
All right.
I know you have more saved than I am, and your Bible is bigger than mine, but this is the stuff that's tough part for me.
Yes.
Because my instincts say when people have done me wrong. Yeah, you know.
Uh-huh.
There's a part of me that says, if you push me, I'm going to push you back. Somebody told me, Pastor, the Bible says if you get slapped, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. I told him I had to be living. Depends on what day it is.
All right.
Catch me on the wrong day, you get slapped back.
Yes, sir.
Don't let me stand behind this pulpit fool you. I know how to get you talking. My instinct tells me, if you cuss me, y'all, let's stand up here. I know how to tell you something. The Lord says, I want you to pray for the folk.
Yes, sir.
That have done you wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Watch this, y'all. Here's where the lesson to come deep. What the exiles had difficulty understanding was everything that happened in the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile was by the divine design of God.
That's yes. Yes.
Okay.
Everything. Read the history.
Yeah.
The conquest of Jerusalem did not happen because the Babylonians were stronger or had better military strategy than Israel. They conquered Jerusalem because God says this, the Babylonians were tools in my hand, and I used them to destroy Jerusalem, to turn my people back to me.
Yes.
I bet you got a whole bunch of people praying now that pandemic's not Amen. I ask, they say, but they pray.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
My Lord. Jesus.
Hey. They conquered Jerusalem because God says this. I'm using them to get you right.
Yes.
Right. I'm using your enemies to turn you back right. Here's the struggle. If the destruction of Jerusalem was by divine design of God, then so is the exile.
That's true.
The divine design of God was for 4,600 Jews to have to live 70 years with their enemies. Mm-hmm. Now, I know some of y'all already ain't hearing me right. I did not say God designed the pandemic. Not what I'm saying. I'm giving you a Bible lesson to give you the theory and the facts to let you know that God is in control of everything.
Yes. Yes.
Everything that happened on this earth ain't got nothing to do with God. We created some of this mess ourselves.
Yes.
But we are spiritual beings living a physical existence.
Yes.
And because we are in it. God, we haven't transitioned yet to glory.
No.
God said, that's why you got the blood and salvation.
Yes.
And because you got the blood and salvation, can I teach it?
Yes.
Whatever you encounter, ain't nothing you're going to encounter that means you can't deal with.
All right.
I don't have to get your attention. You know from whence is one hill coming your strength.
Yes.
We got some people stuck on stupid, still thinking they know God. He said, I'm going to get their attention.
Yes.
All you gotta do is be like the children of Israel. Can I go a little deeper, Deacon Drake?
Yes, sir.
Deacon Drake.
Work with it, Pastor.
Israel. was in Egypt, signifying the world,
uh-huh.
had their own gods they worship.
Yes, yes.
God told Moses, said, I'm sick of them. They ain't playing. They think I'm playing. They don't recognize me as the ultimate God.
Well,
they got the God of the Nile, God the Sun God, yeah. the River God. He said, okay, I'm going to let the death angel go through Egypt. I'm not going to kill them all. I'm going to be specific who I take. I'm going to take the firstborn. God said, because I'm just that kind of God. I can pick and choose how I do it. I'm the only God. If God and Jesus didn't walk into the graveyard and call Lazarus by his name, everybody in the graveyard would have got up. Sometimes call, command, and connect you to people you would rather live without.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You ever had people in your life you wish would just go away?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm just by myself?
Yeah.
Can you find another job? Don't you want to move somewhere? Maybe to Alaska somewhere. Yet by divine design, the Lord will sometimes inextricably connect you to folk who aggravate you.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
God says, I'm going to make you work with somebody that gets on your last nerve.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to put you in a relationship with someone that aggravates the hell out of you.
Amen.
I will put you in a genetic relationship with a cousin that is crazy and deranged. And they are not going anywhere. That's messing us up. Because most of the time, our prayer is this. Lord, make them go away. Make them go somewhere, Lord. Send them somewhere else. Lord, God says, no, you're connected in this season.
All right.
This is a season and time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, it's a time of everything,
even.
You don't get your way all the time. You don't like it? You need to get a little bit more spiritual. Because God is trying to teach you something, trying to cool, make you cool your jets. It ain't about you. You used to have it. Some of y'all so rock. Can I go there? I don't know who this for. I'm going to go there. We are so rock.
Yeah, we are.
Some of us can cry a drop of tear rock in a minute.
Yeah.
And make it look like we're so sad. Because you know what? We've been manipulating people from the womb. We cry and we give them a warm because some of them think we're so upset and they don't want us to cry. So guess what? We've been doing it all our life. Now we be born again and we come to the Lord. And we think we can do the same thing with the Lord. No. The one to put your pot, yourself together.
Yes.
He knows what buttons to push on you. He knows what makes you tick. You can cut. He knows your tears are for real. He knows if you repent for real.
Yeah.
God said, I don't look at your face. I look at your heart. Them in the season with you because I need you to get you to learn how to pray for your enemies.
Yes.
I'm writing the text says this. I see you getting quiet right here. The extent of your prayer life goes like this. Lord, fix me. Give me this. Do that. I want that. The Lord says you need to start growing in your prayer life.
All
where you learn now to begin to pray to God for the welfare and the well-being of those that hate you and stand against you. Because until you learn to pray for them, you will not have peace yourself. Yes, this is grown folk church now. This grown folk church now. Here we go. The Lord said, listen, it's only when they are at peace will you be at peace. So here it is. Whatever you want for you, you have to pray for them.
Lord,
you don't have to clap. I got the mic now. I ain't sitting down yet. You want to be whole? You want to be complete? You must pray for them to be whole and complete. The Lord understands that most of the people, listen to this, most of the people that cause trouble in your life, they really don't have trouble with you. They have trouble in some other area.
Yeah.
And they're taking it out on you. If you want to be at peace with them, you would pray that they find peace with whatever the real issue really is. Because they got an issue and they got nothing to do with you. I showed up to work looking like my handsome self. Don't get mad because I look good. I show up to work because I don't care. Like, I don't care about what's going on. I don't care what's going on. Don't get mad at me like I act like I got it going on. I look like I got it in control, but I know who's in control. Let me have a track out y'all wait for y'all throw me out here. Yeah. See, most people that got trouble, they really don't have trouble. They got another error. They take it out of you.
Yeah.
You want to be at peace? You got to pray for them to have some peace.
Yes.
So they will come to you with a different attitude and disposition. You got to learn to pray for your enemies. That's your homework assignment tonight.
Yes.
And next time you bow before the Lord in prayer, I double dare you to ask the Lord to be good to your enemies.
Yes.
I double dare you to ask God to bless those who hate you.
Yes.
I dare you to ask God to forgive those who have done you wrong.
Yes.
When you do that, God says, watch what I'm going to do for you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
It's an easy prayer.
Yes.
Now, don't say it in faith, it's say it in me. Watch me be good unto you. Watch me open the doors for you, God said. Watch me forgive you for your stuff.
Yeah.
If you learn to pray for them,
yeah,
I'm going to forgive you for your stuff.
Yes, sir.
I will deliver it to you. Deliver them to you.
Yes, sir.
Number one, be productive in your predicament. Mm-hmm. Number two, pray for your persecutors.
All
right. Number three, protect yourself from false prophets.
Protect
yourself. The Lord says, I know you like what Ahab, Zedekiah, and Hananiah told you. I know that made you feel good, but I did not tell them to say that. Here's the word of the Lord to them. You can't receive everything you hear. Everything that's said to you is not ordained. I'm going to make y'all mad in a minute. Everybody's thought and opinion and advice is not ordained of the Lord.
That's right.
To settle into your spirit. Check this out, Rob. So what God is trying to get his desire to is that you should have learned this when you graduated out of high school.
Yeah.
And got your high school diploma. You have to weigh what you hear from whom you hear it from.
That's right.
Some people are not called of the Lord to speak into your exilic pandemic situation. Now the Lord calls them false prophets.
Yes.
Hear me out. Here's the issue. All three of them, Ahab, Zedekiah, Hananiah, here, to four, were bona fide prophets of the Lord in Israel. They were bona fide prophets of the Lord.
Yes,
they were. So they were not evil men.
No.
They were not ill-intentioned, no malice in their heart. Because a false prophet does not always have to be a demon.
Well,
y'all listening to me?
Yes.
love can be your friend.
Yeah.
False love can be someone that means you well.
Yeah.
What makes them a false prophet? Keep reading the text. God says in chapter 29, because they spoke without spending time with me. Did I just say something? You preaching black. They spoke without spending time with me. What makes him a false prophet? False prophets, when you speak, that which was not come through prayer.
My God.
Y'all heard that?
Amen.
I appreciate your opinion. That's what you said to him. Your advice is well received. Thank you for your thoughts. But in this stage of my life, in this season of my life, what I'm going through right now, I need to be certain that whatever I take in my spirit is that which comes from a prayerful source.
That's right.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
You have to be careful of receiving a word that you know came from someone who did not spend no time on their knees. I would suggest to you that there are some clear indicators of a false prophet versus a prayerful source. Wow. Oh, Lord, help me. Prayerful sources, Deacon Lennon, don't communicate through Facebook.
Amen.
Social media.
Yeah.
Prayerful sources don't dibble and dabble and guess what I heard. Prayerful sources don't use vulgarity and violence to scare you.
Mm-hmm.
Prayerful sources don't hide behind anonymity.
Yes.
Prayerful sources that have talked to the Lord come to you. Listen. They come to you and share with you personally what they believe the Lord has placed within their heart for you.
Yes.
Listen to
God,
me. Then allow it to rest between you and the Lord as to whether you receive it and what fruit it bears in your life.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I didn't repeat myself.
No.
But I suggest to you that there are some clear indicators, some word being spoken that could have not been bathed in prayer simply because of the way it comes to you.
Uh-huh.
It don't take a rocket science to figure it out. You have to be careful of receiving what did not come out of prayer.
All right.
Now here's why the exiles fell for it. Oh. Here's the same problem that affects many people today. These exiles were so distant from God themselves that they swallowed anything they heard from somebody else.
My God.
Wow. Yeah.
Y'all got it. Y'all quiet, so I know y'all got it.
Amen.
When you're not close to God, when you don't pray yourself, when you don't study your word, don't come to Bible study, don't come to Sunday school because you're so smart, when you don't devote with God, when you don't draw close to the Lord, you will fall for anything somebody says.
Yes.
If they put "the Lord told me" on the front of it, God says, I'm looking for a generation that can grow close to me.
Mm-hmm.
That when somebody comes to you and told you the Lord told me this, you have enough discernment to say, I don't receive that. Because that is not the voice I heard from God.
Amen.
I know you are convicted. I know you think it's true. I know you are passionate. But if I don't receive this in my spirit, I'm not receiving it.
Amen.
I don't care if you think the Lord told you or not.
Amen.
Be productive in the midst of your predicament. Pray for your persecutors. Beware and protect yourself from false prophets. Oh, I got final one. That's why I'm finished. But I got to give y'all this. This church anniversary, we're going to be riding tight when we finish here.
Amen.
All right. Remember, I'll be patient when it comes to my plan.
Amen.
Listen to the words of hope that God speaks to those exiles. I know it's going to be 70 years. I know this will not be quick, easy. I know this is not where you thought you would be. and would wind up in this state of your life. But I know the thoughts I think towards you.
Yes.
I know the plans I have for your life.
Yes.
I know that I'm trying to do good by you to bring you to a future and a hope. Listen, Pastor.
All right.
God says you should say amen because I have got a plan. No matter how dark it looks, I don't care what pandemic comes out, I don't care what bad exact situation you are in. No matter how bad it seems, God's got something up his sleeve. God's still working something out. God is still fixing whatever we're going through. God has a plan. All faith really is a belief that no matter how bad my situation really gets, God got a plan.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
That's God is that God is up to something.
Yes, he is.
There's a purpose in all of this. And if life was just random and all I had was the consequences of my decision, then I would be the most miserable of all people.
Yes, yes.
I make bad decisions all the time, but God don't let me reap whatever I'm sowing. He turns my, he makes what's meant for my bad, my evil. He turned around for my good.
Yes.
Because I humble myself and say, we fall down, but we get up.
Yes.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Right.
Though he fall down, he will get up.
Yes.
I believe that but deep down inside of me, I believe that no matter how badly I messed up, no matter how much the pain is, how dark my situation is, I don't care what CNN says. I really don't care what the Center of the Disease Control has to say. I don't care what number 45 does. That's dumb. I serve a God who has a plan for me.
Yes.
I'm just focused on my plan right now. I'm like Paul. Paul said, I don't punch. I don't punch just to be punching. He said, I'm not shadow boxing. Paul said, I'm punching with a purpose because I'm pressing toward the mark.
Right.
Of the high calling in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
I got a purpose.
Yes, sir.
I'm keeping my eyes on God.
Yes.
Amen.
God says, it's a plan to do you good. That's my plan for you.
Yes.
Let me speak against the devil and demon who wants you to believe that God is out to hurt you. God is not trying to destroy you. God said, I want to do good to you by my word. Here's what God literally says. Listen to me. I'm going to show up and perform the good word I spoke to you, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Every word that I said, I'm still going to perform, even though you are in a bad situation. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Even though you're in the middle of a pandemic, I'm still going to work all things together for your good. I'm still going to make sure that no weapon formed against you will prosper.
Yes.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
I'm still going to take your weeping through the nighttime and turn your weeping into joy in the morning.
Yes.
I'm still going to take your sins that are scarlet, Sister Thomas, and make them white as snow.
Yes.
I'm still going to make all things new in you through Christ Jesus. I'm still going to do what I said I was going to do.
Yes.
I have a plan for good for you. I got excited when I started seeing it. I said, Lord, I can't write all that. But guess what? He took me to Psalms 91.
Yes.
I'm trying to get up out of here, but y'all messing with me. It says here, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I'm in a pandemic, but I'm in a secret place. I don't have to let the devil see me cry, Sister Thomas. You say, but you crying. Yes, I'm crying. But when I get in the secret place of the Almighty, I'm cloaked in the blood.
Yes, sir.
He don't see what's going on with me when I get in the spirit.
All right.
Y'all miss y'all shot. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowl and from the perilous newsome pestilence.
Yes.
Amen.
Pestilence translates to pandemic. He shall cover me with his feathers, and on his wings I shall take refuge.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
No arrow that flies by day.
Yes.
y'all ain't hearing me.
Yes.
Are those terror that flies by night?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 gonna be falling at my side, y'all. And 10,000 at our right hand.
Yes, sir.
But it shall not come nigh me.
Yes, sir.
Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. I'm going to see that people don't know God. I'm going to see what's happening to them. Because I made the Lord my refuge.
Yes.
The New King James Version says this. I'm out of here. Let me tell you what the New King James Version says. To bring you to a future and a hope.
Yeah.
But to get the right meaning, the literal meaning, you got to go to the Hebrew. Pastor, but study a little bit of Hebrew.
No, that'll work.
The more accurate Hebrew translation says, to bring you to an expected end.
Yes.
Y'all hear that?
Yes.
Our future and hope translate into an expected end.
Yes.
That means it's going to end. I want you to embrace the fact and deep in your soul that what we're going through right now is going to end.
All
right. No matter what it is, the Lord says, it will end. Exile, pandemic, circumstances, situation, it will end. This is just a season. It will end after a while, y'all. You can't see it right now because you're in the middle of it and you're all stressed out. But there is an end on the way. I don't know how it does to feel right now because it just got started and there's an end coming. Is there anybody in here that I can get a witness that God knows how to put a period in whatever you're going through? God got a way of making stuff that you're going through come to an abrupt end. I'm out of here. I'm sorry I kept you so long, but guess what God said? You need to learn how to persevere through the pandemic. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I work all things together for your good. We've been made endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning. He said that. He said, by my stripes you are healed.
Yes, sir.
May God bless you. I kept y'all long enough. And keep you. This is my prayer.
Amen.